You know, there are many Christians that don't understand the necessity of a visible church. And a lot of times this is groups like those who are, they consider themselves non-denominational or Bible Christians, that they'll say, you know what, it's good to go to church on Sunday. It's good to go and worship God and, you know, praise and worship and hear a sermon and hear the scriptures. That's all good, but you don't need that to be a Christian. You just have to believe in Jesus, and that's all it is. And sadly, I've not just heard non-Catholics say this. I've also heard Catholics say this. I've heard Catholics say, well, it's good to go to Mass, and we really should go to Mass, but you don't need to go to Mass. You just have to believe in Jesus. They've taken that non-denominational mindset and tried to Catholicize it, tried to make it Catholic. The problem with that is, it's not the case. The church is something given to us by Christ, and it is a beautiful gift from Jesus himself to each and every one of us. Because the church is more than just the institution. A lot of times when we think about the church, very often, you know, and of course we use many different meanings for the word church, but when we think of the church, we think of the buildings. We think of the diocese, we think of the bishops and the priests, we think of the Pope over in Rome, we think of all these other organizational parts of the church, as important as they all are. But do we always remember that the church is ultimately the body of Christ? It is the body of Christ visible here on earth. We are part of the church, each and every one of us are a building block of the church. And yes, that's a meaning from Scripture. We are part of the church. And so when we talk about church, we are talking about us. That is the institution. That is the organization of the church. And all these other parts feed into that. And the church doesn't just end here on earth. Something you might remember from when you went through religious education, is that the church is actually made up of three parts. The church militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant. The church militant is us here on earth who are struggling with sin, who are struggling through this life to enter the kingdom of heaven. The church suffering are those souls who are in purgatory, who are being cleansed, prepared for entering into the kingdom of heaven. And of course, the church triumphant are the saints, are those who have made it. They have entered into the kingdom of heaven. They are sitting in front of our Lord at his throne. All of these are part of the church, as we know as the Catholic Church here on earth. The church is not dispensable. We can't get rid of the church. We can't just say, well, if the church went away, if the Catholic Church went away, we would be fine. No, we need the church. Yes, we need a personal relationship with our Lord, each of us individually, but we also need the church because the church is the means through which we are saved. It is the means through which we receive his grace. Jesus did intend for us to have a church to lead us and to guide us. And first and foremost, the purpose of the church is to help us understand God in his ways. As the scripture says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how inscrutable are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. We cannot know God on our own. We cannot know God beyond what has been revealed through the church. And no longer how long we're Catholic, how many years we spent at Catholic school, what Catholic university we went to, what classes we've taken, we do not fully understand God. You know, I have been a Catholic for little over 47 years, actually almost right at 47 years. My baptism date was August 26th, 1976. So right at 47 years, I've been a Catholic. I was a seminarian for 8 years. I've been a priest for 15 years, and I still know I've got a lot more to learn. Because we all do. We always have more to learn. You know, we always got to go deeper in learning about God. And that is what we have the church to do. Our Lord gave the authority to the apostles, especially St. Peter, as the rock, to guide us and to preach in his name. They have the gospel authority. And Peter is the rock on whom the church is built. It was Peter is that foundation. Of course, Jesus is the foundation of all of it and is the body of it. We are the body of Christ, but it is built on Peter. And he has the authority to bind and loose. Now, those that talk about the keys to the kingdom should sound familiar after listening to the first reading. Because we hear in the first reading where Eliakim is made the master of the palace. He's given the keys to the front door, which of course means he can lock out people and he can let people in. And once he's locked that front door to the castle, no one can get in. Once he's unlocked it, no one could shut it. That was his authority. He had the power again to let say who could come in and who couldn't. Well, that extends now with Peter. We hear, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the church, through Peter, has the authority to bind and loose on us and on the kingdom of heaven. And that's something we should take seriously. Now, that didn't end with Peter, because Peter has a successor. He has quite a few successors, over 260 last time I checked, if I remember correctly. The popes. The pope is the successor of Peter. That authority to bind and loose has been passed from generation to generation to generation through the papacy, through the popes. And we've had good popes, we've had bad popes. We have popes that we might agree with, we've had popes that we might think were despicable. And yet they still had this authority. And that's why we have to give, you know, honor and respect to our Holy Father, the Pope, whether we like him or not, whether we agree with him or not. Now, this doesn't mean everything he says is binding on us. For example, if Pope Francis got up there at St. Peter's Square and said, the St. Louis Cardinals, my favorite baseball team, the St. Louis Cardinals were going to win the World Series this year, he would have no better chance to predict that than any sports prognosticator you saw on ESPN. And the way the Cardinals are playing this year, he would be really wrong because they're not even going to make the playoffs the way they've been playing. So he would be even off on that. But you're not bound to that. But in matters of faith and morals, when he preaches, we need to be listening. We need to be paying attention. Again, not everything he says is going to be binding on us, but we still at least need to give him the respect to listen. Because that's how we find out more about God. That's how we learn more about God, is through the teaching of the church. The church also guides us in how Jesus wants to be worshipped. Not just how for us to know who he is, but how to worship him. You know, in the Mass, every Mass, you will hear the priest say, do this in memory of me. Do this in memory of me. Now, that remembrance that our Lord is saying is not just, oh, yeah, I remember that Jesus did this 2,000 years ago in some country over on the Mediterranean. We are entering into that. The Israelite people and later the Jews, they realized when they participate in the Passover, it's not just remembering that the Passover occurred. They are entering into those events as if they were in Egypt itself. They participate in it fully. I mean, you even read the scriptures. It talks about how when you celebrate it, you know, loins girt, like you're ready for a journey. You're ready to go. They believe they're entering into the Passover itself, the actual event. Well, in the same way, when we participate in the Mass, we are not just remembering, oh yes, Jesus died for us. We are at the cross. We are at Calvary. We are there for our Lord's death and resurrection. We are there. We are entering into that event, and we receive him from that sacrifice. And that's how he wants to be worshipped. He wants to be worshipped this way. You know, and it, again, going back to the Israelites, there's precedent for that. You read through the early books, the first five books of the Bible, there's a lot in there about how God wants to be worshipped. A lot of rules about how God wants to be worshipped by the Israelites. He didn't stop doing that when Christ came. He just does it through a different means. He does it through the church to help us understand that. And that's part of the reason, a big reason why missing Mass is such an important issue. Why it is grave matter, what we call grave matter or grave sin, to miss Mass. Because, of course, we are called to make holy the Lord's, keep holy the Lord's Day. That is one of the Ten Commandments. That never went away. And Mass is how we do that. We come to Mass to keep holy Sunday, to worship God as he wishes. And remember, when we talk about grave matter or grave sin, that's the first condition for falling into mortal sin, is to commit an act that is a grave sin. So to miss Mass is a grave sin. The second part of that is we know that it is a grave sin. So guess what? I just took that excuse away from you. Sorry. And then third of all is to do it willingly. And that last part's important, doing it willingly. Because if you can't make it to Mass due to means beyond your control, for example, you're off middle of nowhere and there's no way you can get back for Mass. It's not going to happen. Or you're visiting somewhere and you don't have a means of transportation or something like that. There's some reason why you just cannot get to Mass. That reduces your culpability, we say. That means you probably have a good reason that you can't make it to Mass. Or if you're sick or you're injured or some other reason, you've had surgery or something like that, and you're not physically able, capable of coming. And frankly, you know, if you're sick, it's probably best to not come, because we don't want to spread whatever you've got. We kind of learned that lesson in 2020. You're sick, don't come. Now, there is a way that if you have a good reason, you can actually receive a dispensation. You can actually receive permission to miss Mass if you have a good reason. And all you have to do is go talk to your pastor. In other words, come talk to me. I can give you a dispensation. I might ask why. I might ask, you know, what your reason is. And if the reason is, well, I want to put in a few more hours of fishing on Sunday, the answer is probably going to be no. But if you've got, again, if you've got a good reason, well, we're going to be out in the mountains and we're going to be 50 miles from anything. Okay, fair enough. Take a look, print out a copy of the readings for the Sunday and take about 5 minutes to read them. There you go. But again, I can give you permission. Don't assume the permission. I think that's a problem a lot of Catholics fall into. But I can give permission, so ask. I might be willing, might be nice that day, and give it. So the church guides us in knowing our Lord closer. Church guides us in how Jesus wants to be worshipped. And the church also gives us the weapons we need for our spiritual warfare. Now remember, I said the church on earth is the church militant. We are in a spiritual battle with, as St. Paul calls them, powers and principalities. It's not the world, it's the devil. It's the demons. It's the fallen angels that want to drag us down. And the church should not be on the defensive in this battle. We should not just be trying to deflect the devil. Notice our Lord says, the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. Well, if we're at the gates of the netherworld, we're pushing against them. We're the ones on the offensive against the devil and the demons, the fallen angels. We're fighting against them. And we will win, by the way. We know the end of the book. We win. They lose. So we are given the tools that we need to make this spiritual battle and to take this spiritual battle to them. You know, and there really is parallels between, you know, real world battles, combat, and our spiritual battles. And that's why that imagery has been used for so long, even going back to St. Paul. You know, first of all, we are given the graces, the defenses, if you will, to fight against the weapons of evil. Of course, the devil is going to attack us, and he's going to use his weapons, which is temptation and sin. He wants us to fall into sin. He wants us to be wounded by him, sometimes mortally. That's why we use the term mortal sin. It cuts us off from God completely. So he's fighting us with these temptations and sin, and we receive the graces through the church to fight, to defend from that. And when we do fall from temptation and sin, well, just like in a real battlefield, earthly battlefield, you've got medics who are trying to patch up and heal those who are wounded. Well, we have our medic, if you will, and that is the sacrament of confession and the sacrament of anointing. These bring healing when we fall into sin, especially confession. Confession is so important, for when we do fall to the weapon of sin, that we can be healed from that. We can receive healing from that injury, from that mortal wound. So that's why we have that sacrament. The church gives us that sacrament. And then, you know, of course, if we're going to be on the offensive, we need weapons of our own. And that's what daily prayer is for, is to push back against the devil, to push back against the demons, to fight them off. And again, this is where that grace comes from that the church gives us, is through these prayers, through these devotions and so on that we have. And the most powerful weapon that we have is the Eucharist, is Christ himself. When we come to Mass and we receive him, we are receiving Christ himself. That is the most powerful spiritual weapon that we have. Now, it's important that we enter into this battle because we want to be on the winning side. We want to be on the winning side. And, of course, that winning side is the church. It's Christ. We will win if we stick with Christ, if we take up this battle with him, alongside of him. Because the ultimate purpose of the church is to get us to the kingdom of heaven. It's to lead and guide us to Christ so we may enter the kingdom of heaven when our time here on earth is done. And the church teaches us how to live now so that we might live in the kingdom of heaven in the next life. May we truly enter into the body of Christ, the church. May we truly learn from her. May we truly follow her in worship and in that spiritual battle, so that we can be on the right side, the winning side, and be prepared to enter into that kingdom of heaven.